First, I would like to do something that I forgot to do at the beginning, and that is to welcome all of you from different parishes. I know that we are slowly getting back to normal, but I know we have a lot of visitors here from St. John Vianney, from St. Cecilia's, and from St. Michael's. But I know probably other parishes, too. Just know that we're in this together, and consider this always your second home. We're very glad to have you in spite of the situations that are going on in Houston and slowly getting back to normal. Over the past 40 years that I have been a priest, and this year is my 40th anniversary, I always think back on these 40 years and try to think of what is it that, if I had to say I had learned one thing during these 40 years, what it would be. And I would have to say that it is the constant understanding that most people, most of us, have a very inadequate understanding of what it means to love. You hear the word a lot in music and sitcoms and stories and between people. But we have a very, very shallow kind of understanding of what it means to love. Today, I'm going to be focusing my attention on the second reading, because I think it's a particularly appropriate, given the circumstances that we have been through and that we're still finishing going through and will be for months, the hurricane. And I think the second reading is particularly important for us to understand. And then, particularly in this context, I'm going to give it over to Father Mark from West Houston Assistance Ministries, because his comments will dovetail right with what I have to say. I don't know if you listen closely to the first sentence of the second reading. It says, roughly, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Now, I want you to pay specific attention to the word owe. We owe love. It's not a matter of discretion. It's a matter of justice. It's a matter of something that we owe. Now, let me be clear about this. For us in English, the word love has always suffered from a bit of overgeneralization. I much prefer always to clarify by using the concepts that the ancient Greeks had. Because the ancient Greeks had four different words for love. Now, I'm not going to use them in Greek, but in English, they basically are affection, friendship, and romance. Now, that's only three. I'll get to the fourth. Affection, friendship, and romance. Now, those three are the kinds of love that are discretionary. You don't owe friendship, affection, or romance to anyone. You don't owe that. That's up to you whether you want to give affection, friendship, or romance. But St. Paul is saying, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. So what's he referring to? He's referring to the fourth kind of love. And the fourth kind of love is in Greek called agape. Agape, or in the Latin version, caritas, which means charity. Now, for us too, we have a very, you know, superficial notion of charity. Because the fundamental understanding of charity or agape, I'll start using the word agape, is much deeper. Because we talk about charity, for example, we say, oh, give to charity. And we think about being nice, and we think about taking care of the poor, and we think about doing these charitable things. But the very notion of charity or agape is much more profound. So what is it that we owe? And notice, I want to really pound that word down, because we don't owe anyone anything except to agape one another. Now, what is agape? Agape is the word that the ancient Greeks used to speak about a disinterested form of love. It's not affection, although it may be accompanied by affection or friendship or romance. But it is the substratum of all of the other three. As a matter of fact, the other three, if they exist without agape as a foundation, turn into monsters. Okay? Quickly, basically imagine, for example, romance without agape. Romance without agape, if you've heard, you've probably heard people, you know, in extremes or in novels or in the news, you've heard people say, if I can't have you, no one else will. That's the monster of romance without agape. What is agape? Agape is to love by caring, imitating God's care for the good of another. Imitating God's care for the good of another. If romance were undergirded by agape, you would say, yeah, it hurts to break up, but I want what God wants for you. I want what is good for you. Not if anyone can't have you, if I can't have you, nobody else will. And so that's what we owe. And what St. Paul is saying is that underneath all of our behavior, we owe agape even to our enemies. That's why Jesus was saying, love your enemies. He wasn't saying, be friends with your enemy. Have affection for your enemy. He certainly wasn't saying, have romantic love for your enemy. He was saying, agape your enemy. You owe your enemy, even your enemy, you owe him that or her that. You owe the fact that even though you may have someone who is your enemy, you must not wish evil for them. You must always unite yourself with God and saying, you hope and you pray and you want to be a reflection of what God wants for your enemy. You pray for their conversions and also for yours so that peace may come. That's the definition of the Christian. And that's when Jesus said, you have to love even your enemies. And Jesus was very clear. He said, look, if you love just people who love you, so what's so good about that? If you love people who are in your company, in your family, so what? He said, even the pagans do that. So what's different about you? What's different about you is that you are a reflection of what God wants even for your enemy. I have always operated, and it's interesting because I teach juniors and seniors on Sundays in high school, CCE, and I make them memorize the definition of love. And any junior or senior that's been in my class can stand up and say it to you, because they all individually have to stand up and say the definition. And the definition of love that I make them memorize is this. Love, agape, is the decision to unite yourself with God in caring for the good of another, no matter how you feel. God, love, agape, is the decision. Notice it's not an emotion. You can't control how you feel. You can control your decisions. Love is the decision to unite yourself with God in caring for the good of another, no matter how you feel. Now, why did I choose to work on that today? Because as we have gone through the storm, we have seen agape all over the place. You have seen agape in people going out to rescue other people. It was not pleasant. But I've talked to people who have constantly said, I can't not do anything. I have to help. Contributions, and people have been coming out. Sometimes it may feel good to do that. But the point is, we have an obligation to do that even when it doesn't feel good. Even when it doesn't feel good. Too many times we give in to what I would call sentimental agape. And sentimental agape is when you do something that's good for another, but you do it because it makes you feel good. And the whole point is, how you feel is irrelevant. Irrelevant. You may feel good about paying off your debts, but it's irrelevant how you feel. You owe it. And we owe that to our brothers and sisters and to God. It's interesting because in the Mass, there is a part in the Mass when, in the preface, right before we go into the Eucharistic prayer, and the priest says, it is good and it is our duty and salvation always and everywhere to give you thanks. In other words, our duty, we owe God the same love that we owe each other. And so, what's important always as a Christian, always remember, because people get confused about this, you don't owe affection. You don't owe friendship. You don't owe romance. You do owe agape. And that means that we, as brothers and sisters, must at every moment of our lives have the intention to make the decision to unite ourselves with God in caring for the good of another, whether you feel like it or not. There are times that you're going to have people in your life that you are fed up with and that you want to just blow them up. But you have to resist the temptation to fantasize the bomb going off. You have to resist that. Why? Because even though it's okay to be angry, it's okay to be seething and even to experience what people call hate, which is just actually a profound anger, it's not okay to say literally, and I'm going to use the word, God damn you. Now, we use that word every once in a while, but we don't really mean it. It is wrong to wish evil on anyone, even your enemy. We owe to love, agape each other. Through this storm, the time of the storm, and through the response that we have had plenty of opportunities to reach out even when it didn't feel good. And that's why this expression of agape has brought out really the best in Houston. I love what we put up in the sign outside that says, Houston, bearing one another's burdens, because that is what agape is. And that's why this Sunday I chose to invite Father Mark Brown. Father Mark, as I said, is an Episcopal priest, and he was hired a few months ago as the director of the West Houston Assistance Ministry. And what a blessed time to have Mark with us leading the whole effort of West Houston Assistance Ministries. And if many of you don't know, because you may be visiting, what West Houston Assistance Ministries, or WHAM, is, it's an association of different churches, Catholic, Episcopal, Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian, Evangelical, all kinds of different churches in this area. And what we do is we come together to be a reflection of God's care for our brothers and sisters. One of the things I always like to say is, folks, poverty is not Catholic, Episcopal, Presbyterian, or Methodist, or Lutheran. Poverty is poverty, and need is need. And Jesus said to us, I was hungry, you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. Notice that the criteria for salvation is not whether you loved as romantic, or you loved affection, or you loved in friendship. The criteria for salvation is agape. I was hungry, you gave me to eat. You cared, even if you didn't feel like it. And so at this time, I would ask you to give your attention to Father Mark Brown, who's with us, just to focus a little bit more on the West Houston Assistance Ministries and the work that we have been doing together. Father Mark?
Well, good morning. I've just made a mental note to speak before Father Mario next time. He's a really good speaker, and I think I've made a huge mistake, so I'm going to keep this really short. Thank you for your words, and it will be short, I promise you. Just quickly to get it out the way, because it'll distract you from anything else I say, I am American, that accent is Australian. So you're probably wondering, am I right? It is Australian, but I became American a year ago. I have been the CEO of West Houston Assistance Ministries for 5 months today. And boy, what a welcome to the job. You know, Houston has changed. It will never be the same. We are facing extraordinary times. This is not normal. In no way or measure is this normal. And in fact, I stand before you very aware of Irma. That right now is bearing down and has begun landfall in Florida just an hour ago, I believe. And you may be sitting here with family and friends in Florida, worried. And maybe our own storms, you were affected. Maybe you were flooded. Maybe you know someone who was flooded, or your house or apartment was damaged, or you haven't been able to work. Or, and I am seeing this a lot, it has brought up all sorts of trauma, depression, and emotional challenges that have come to the surface through the storm. These are not normal times, and Father Mario is spot on. This is the time when we need to make the decision to love, to stand tall and help lift the person who has fallen, the neighbor, to do what we can to help. So just a few comments and then I'll conclude. West Houston Assistance Ministries is a short walk down Rogerdale. We are very close to this church geographically, and we are very close to this church in our practice. It has been around for 35 years, and our core goal, as Father Mario rightly said, is to help those in crisis. And we have done that every day for 35 years, and it is an initiative of all the churches in this area. So now is our moment. Now is our time to stand up. We are not first responders. We are not second responders. We are third responders. That for the next weeks, months, and possibly years, we will stand with you and do what we can to help you. Yesterday at West Houston Assistance Ministries, we helped 1,051 people in one day. We gave them food. We gave them water. We gave them clothes. We gave them financial help. We will do whatever we can if you are in crisis, in partnership with the churches, including this incredible church. This is one of the distribution points. We have a vice president of our board, is Lisa Pereira, a wonderful member of this church, and we work with her very closely. Father Mario is an important, integral part of WAM and all that we do. This church is very special to me, and it is an honor to be here. So I want to finish by saying this. If you need help, contact us at WAM. Wander in tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Give us a call. This is not the time for pride. We do not care of your economic circumstance. Maybe you don't need help with money, but maybe you need help with spiritual care or counseling. We will help you. We have teams of people. Maybe you do need help because your job, you've lost your job or it's been interrupted and you need help with some money to pay rent. Or maybe you've lost precious, a car, or in the flood you've lost some things and you're not one of these people who have got insurance. We will help you. Or simply, you need some clothes, food, or water. We, in partnership with Father Mario and this amazing parish, we will help you. So come, let us serve us, and come let us express our agape as we at WAM make the decision to love and serve all of those who are hurting in West Houston. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.